going to get right into our message today. And man, I'm excited. I'm really excited. So I got to calm down here a little bit. But have you ever, back when I was growing up, we watched these cartoons on Saturday mornings. And there was always a cartoon that had like this little angel on this side of the shoulder and say, "No, that wouldn't be wise to do that." And then you got this little horn frog sitting on this one. It's like, "Go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and do it." How many of you remember those cartoons? Remember those cartoons? There's always that, then they start to have that argument back and forth, and they're trying to influence you to do or not to do. How many of you have ever felt the reality of that battle? How many of you are like in that battle right now? Should I get up and go, man? Like, oh, man. We're in a sermon series called Battlefield, and the Bible tells us there is a battlefield in each and every one of our lives, and that battlefield is in our minds. And that battle, the Bible tells us that this battle is between two opposing armies. There is this one opponent, and this one opponent, I want to assure you, he loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan and a future for your life, and he wants to come and give you this thing called life more abundantly. But I assure you also, there is another opponent, and he is, the Bible calls him your adversary, and we know who that is. His name is Satan, and I want you to understand this, that Satan's number one objective is to plant self-defeating thoughts in your mind, and his greatest desire is to convince you to make decisions to where you will destroy yourself. Okay, did you catch that? So you have two opposing opponents, and they have two very different objectives for your life. This is in the Bible. And that's why this topic, the battlefield, the battle of the mind, why it's so important, because what we think and what we believe directly affects who we are and how we live our lives. I might need a bottle of water here in just a little bit. If you could help me, my beautiful wife. Greg Rochelle, an author and pastor of a large church, and he wrote a book called Winning the War in Your Mind. He said, "The life we have is a reflection of the thoughts we think." Let me say it one more time. The life we have, you currently have, it's a reflection of the thoughts that we think. So you are where you are today because of the thoughts that you have and what you did have in the past. So in Romans 7:14-25, the Apostle Paul describes, it's like that little scenario that I gave you here just a few moments ago about this battlefield. And it's so interesting. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but here's the whole synopsis of what he says, Romans 7:14-25. He starts off with like, "I really don't understand myself." Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate you. "I really don't understand myself." How many of you have felt that way before? "I really don't understand myself." And he says, "The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the things that I want to do and the person I want to be, I don't. I don't." And that's just to sum up what he says there. How many of you can relate? I don't do the things I know I should do. And then I just turn around and I do the things I know I said that I'm not going to do those things anymore. And so he says, "I really don't understand why." But then he goes on to explain why. But I'm going to get a little scientific on you this morning. So in my prayer time, I like to do a lot of walking. So I have walked my neighborhood like a gazillion times. And if you walk, I walk my neighborhood in the wintertime. I'll notice as I'm walking in these neighbors' yards, there shows up these paths. And there's always these deer pathways. And every year, we've been here for 5 years now, 5 years. And in the wintertime, I have seen like for 5 winters, the same pathways that form. And so the snow will get deep, but these pathways will stay the same. And these deer, really, they have been walking these pathways long before the neighborhood was ever built. Okay? These pathways, they just continue. That is their path. And over time, the path becomes very visible and very predictable. So if I was a deer hunter, and you're not allowed to hunt in my neighborhood, but if I did hunt in my, I would set my deer stand right along one of those pathways because it's very obvious they're going to go, eventually they're going to come down that path. So the same thing happens in our brain. And the principle is called neuroplasticity. How many of you ever heard of that? Neuroplasticity, okay? And what happens is the creation of neural pathways in the brain based on experience and learnings. So every time you begin to think something and you dwell on it and you begin to believe it, what happens is it creates an electrical impulse in your brain called a neural pathway. So let's go back to the deer illustration. Just as sometime long ago, a deer came down and just created this path. And some other deer said, well, it must be a safe passage. So he began to walk down it. And so other deer, and all of a sudden it becomes like a major highway. Well, the same thing in your mind. When you begin to think something or you begin to believe something, that pathway, you just keep going down that path. And so what happens is, how many of you remember when you first started driving a car? Okay, wasn't that long ago? And so when you first driving a car, you're like, don't talk to me. I'm paying attention here. Be careful. And you're just blinker, and you're doing everything that you're supposed to do. You're ultra paying attention, okay? And you just like, look at that idiot. He's texting while he's driving. I can't believe it. So, and then we get older. And we get used to it. And now we're texting and driving. And like some of you go to the same pathway to work, same distance. And like you get to work, like, I don't know, it was like a 20-minute drive. I don't remember any of it. You ever happened? I'm just like, oh my goodness, I don't remember anything. That drive went so quick. And kind of scary. It's kind of scary if you think about it. So this is the same thing that kind of happens in our minds. And then over time, the more we repeat the same thing, the more easy and natural it is to follow that path. And then your thoughts turn into your habits. Your thoughts begin to evolve into our actions. And the problem, here's the problem. The problem is many of these paths that we have formed in our minds, they're lies. They're lies that we have chosen to believe. For example, getting back to the Apostle Paul here. Have you ever wondered why? You ever wondered why? Why? I got this nasty habit, and I can't break it. And I would say to you, according to what we're talking about here, I would say, well, look at the path that you've created. How did you arrive at this pathway? Why do I keep eating too much? Man, it's just like I can't. I just say I'm gonna cut back. I'm not gonna eat that. I wanted to show you a video this morning. I saw on Instagram the other day, and it's a guy standing there. And he quickly says, day one, no cookies. Next day, day two, no cookies. Next slide, day one, no cookies. 20 minutes, no cookies. Right? Have you ever felt that way before? That's it. No. And enough is enough. I'm not going to go down that road. It's because of the pathways. Why can't I stop looking at the porn? Well, look at the path maybe you created for that. Why do I keep going back to the bottle when I know what it's doing to me? Why do I keep going back to the drug when I know I swore that I would stop? Well, But look at the pathway. Why do I keep trying to find my self-worth in the social media? Well, look at the pathway. Why do I continuously start something and telling myself I'm going to finish it, and then I quit too early? Well, look at the path that you've created. Why do I keep getting myself in debt? But I would say, look at the pathway that you've created. You see, each one of these habits and more, whatever your habit might be, that habit that you're like, no, like Paul. Each one of these habits is the result of a lie you believed over and over and over again. You've went down that path, and you knew it was a lie at the beginning, but you just kept going down that path, and now it's a habit in your life. And now a pathway is created, and you just can't stop, and you want to change. The pathway becomes, we talked about this last week, a stronghold. Stronghold. Some of you are here today and you want or you are in need of change. No. You're in need of real change. You are in need of life change. One of the most profound verses in the Bible on this topic of real change is found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I encourage you to look this verse up. This is the Apostle Paul here. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. So I just stop right here. I think what he's about to say is like, hey, listen, not just you early Christians that I'm talking to you here in Rome, but I'm talking about in the future. I think he's relating, hey, dear brothers and sisters at Thrive Church today on May 4th, 2025, who you're here today or you're watching online, this also pertains to you. He says, I think what he's trying to say, the same problems, the same habits, the same strongholds that we get stuck into, I think it's been going on for years. This whole neural pathway thing's been going on for centuries. And so listen to this challenge then. He says, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies, all right, I'd like to put in here your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. So I think what I hear Paul saying here is, listen, don't be content with just giving Jesus your heart. I think sometimes with faith followers, we think, hey, guess what I did today? I gave Jesus my heart and church. But that's all we give him. We give him my heart. You know, I made a prayer and I really want Jesus in my life. But we hesitate to give him our life. And I think that there is a difference. There is a difference. You give him your heart, but Jesus said, I want your life. How many married couples that are here today? Married couples, how many of you would be content if your spouse says, now listen, you know, when we got married, you know, I gave you my heart, but that means like 1/4 of me, okay? I got some other things going on the outside and, you know, my work and I got this other stuff. So you get 1/4 of me and you know, I know you'll be glad with that, right? How many of you would be very bothered by a statement like that? You see, when you got married, you trusted and believed that that person is all in. Everybody say all in. All in. All in. All in. I'm all in. Isn't that really, for those married couples and those who are not married yet, isn't that the relationship that you desire the most out of your spouse? Somebody who's all in. I'm all in for this marriage. There is nothing that's going to make or break this marriage. I'm all in. And I want you to know that is the same desire that God has for your life. He is looking for a group of people who say, I want more than your heart. I want you to go all in. Everybody say all in. All in. And I really think that's what Paul is saying here. And he says, you really want to worship God? Then go all in. What is keeping you from going all in with Jesus? Is it your habit? Is it that stronghold that's in your life? What is it? Is it your heart? And then he says, do not conform, which means do not copy the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, another word that we use around here, another word for transform, we use this phrase around here, it's called life change. Because when you give your heart, when you give your life to Jesus, it changes everything. How many of you can testify to that? It changes everything. It changes the way you think, the way you act, the way you feel, the person that you are. Life change. Now, when you think about transformation, there's an analogy when do they come out? They come out in the spring. They come out in the fall. They come out in the spring of those ugly caterpillars, right? They're little woolly bears or whatever. They're caterpillars. They're just kind of, can't imagine that crawling on your skin. But something happens to them, and we saw these videos and when I was in grade school watching this little caterpillar climb up onto a tree and it forms a little ugly cocoon, and then all of a sudden, days later, it starts poking its wings out, and it becomes transformed. Something ugly has turned into something beautiful. Its life has been changed. It has been transformed. And so I think what Paul's saying here is real life change happens when you put yourself in position for your mind to be renewed. And once that happens, you find yourself no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, but to the will of God. Your behavior changes when your thinking changes. Just tell your neighbor that right now. Just tell them your behavior is going to change when your thinking changes. Go ahead and tell. Your neighbor needs to hear that. Okay? Change. We're talking about life change. So this morning, I want to just quickly here, I want to give you some thoughts to think for a change. We're going to think for a change. So ideas here. My first thought here is I want you to understand this. Our life direction is based on a belief. You're here today. You're here today. Maybe you become members. Maybe you serve at this church. You worship God based on a belief. Proverbs tells us this, for as a person thinks or believes in his heart, so is he. So what you believe shapes how you live and who you become. This is so important. It's so important that you answer the question, what do I believe? Have you answered that question? And I've talked about this in the past, but we did our Jesus series, Jesus Is. It's so important that you answer the question, who is Jesus and why does it matter? Because that's going to shape your life more than anything. What you believe shapes how you live and who you become. So for instance, maybe you own a business or you work in a business and you have the opportunity to, every once in a while I'm not always so honest with my customer. Every once in a while I take a little bit off of the top. I might cheat and may not be accurate all the time. But that's based on the belief that you will get ahead in life if I'm not exactly honest. Okay, that's the reality. That's why sometimes we do the things that we do, because like I'm not sure I really believe that. I believe if I'm dishonest, to be dishonest is better to be than to be honest. And so you may never admit that, but that's truly what you believe. You know it's a lie, but you choose to believe it. Or maybe somebody decides to leave their spouse because they believe the lie, God wants me to be happy. You believe the lie. Can I just stop right here? That's not his plan for your life, for you to just be happy. That's not his plan. That everything will go your way. A lot of people have walked away from their faith because they found out that's not God's plan for you to just be happy all your life. But they told themselves and they bought into this belief and it changed their behavior. The belief is, I would be happier a single person than a married person. In my behavior then, I now live a single life. Craig Rochelle says this again in his book. He says, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Let me say that one more time. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So the reality is your beliefs determine your direction. Your belief. And again, that's why I go back. It's so important that you ask yourself the question, what do I believe about Jesus and why is it so important? Because it will shape your direction. Now, let me give another illustration here. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just kind of picking out life circumstances here. So I don't know anybody who deals with this, but I know it's an issue, okay? Can I just address that? So, because people are like, what have you been telling him? You know, what did you tell him? Yeah, okay. Talking about the topic of gambling, okay? Gambling. I'm not throwing stones at gambling or anything like that, but I'm just telling you, I have met a lot of people who have a lot of pain and hurt because they bought into a lie. Let me just talk about how it lives. Here's what happens. Here's how beliefs determine your life direction. So it starts with a thought. Starts with a thought like, man, I am working a lot. And it just seems like the more I work, the more I go into debt, I just get broke. And then, wow, I just can't believe, I just saw on Facebook how much money my friend made at the casino the other night. Oh my goodness, look how much they won. And so all of a sudden, it starts with a thought, and then it begins to solidify as a belief. You know, life would be a whole lot easier if I could just win some instant cash. If I could just win some cash, I wouldn't be broke. And I wouldn't have to work so hard. Maybe I could get a different job. I could get a different truck. And so all of a sudden you begin to solidify this belief. And then it leads to an emotion. Man, if I could just win big just once, that's all I need, I would be so happy. That's what would make, I mean, you know, things make me happy. But that would make me ultra happy. You see how the emotions begin to stir up here? And so then what it happens, once it's into your emotions, then it gets manifested into an action. And you start to go to that place, and it's like, man, I'm doing pretty good here. This is pretty good. And like, you know, you get that paycheck, and like, I'm going to bet the whole paycheck here. Put that on the table. And it's like, yeah. And you win, and you start to feel happy. And you love the excitement of winning, and then you begin to love the challenges of losing and trying to get back your losses. It just becomes exciting. And now it's in your actions, and then it turns into a daily habit. Now every chance you get, I gotta be there. And now you're skipping out on your work and you're skipping out on your family, and where your money should be going here, it's going over here. And the problem is you start losing. And now you have to make up for your losses. And now it results in your life direction. Now that's all you can think about. You're deeper in debt, and you're spending money you don't have. You're borrowing money. You're stealing money. Whatever it takes. Man, I can just take this illustration and turn it into so many other life. Do you see how the enemy works? Remember what I said. Satan's number one desire is to convince you to make decisions to destroy yourself. And this is, again, just another one of examples here. And my second thought here is behind every sin is a lie we believe. You see, when you live in sin, it's because you're believing a lie. You know, our great, 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 great parents, and I can go deeper than that, Adam and Eve, we remember in Genesis chapter 3, at the very beginning, that story of Satan, and he starts tempting Adam and Eve. And listen to his words. Listen how crafty as Satan is as he's talking to Adam and Eve. And he's saying, hey, well, you know, why don't you just take part of this fruit and take some of it? And there's like, well, God said that we would die. And Satan's like, you won't die. You won't die. You see, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So they just, all of a sudden, like, the enemy is always trying to challenge our belief system. That's why you need to know what you believe. And Satan is just like, no, that's not what God meant. No, it's going to be okay. In fact, God doesn't... he's got some insecurities, and he knows that you'll become like him if you do. And all of a sudden, you begin to believe the lie that it would be better for me to disobey God than to take him at his word. Can I just say it one more time? You begin to believe the lie that it would be better for me to disobey God and do what I want to make me happy than to take God at his word. And then all of a sudden we begin to condone our sin because our believe our disobedience will produce a better outcome. An unknown author says this, occupy your mind with the truth or the enemy will fill it with his lies. Yep. Change begins in the mind. Change begins in the mind. We will never see life change until we confront the lies with truth. Paul tells us this, and this is a different verse. Well, he says this in verse 2. Again, be transformed. Be changed. Be changed. How does that happen? By renewing of the mind. Change begins in the mind. If you want to act the way you act, or if you want to change the way you act, you must take the charge of your thinking. If you don't like the way you're thinking, you don't like the outcomes of your life, then it's up to you to fix your thoughts. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Now, I want you to understand here, in Philippians 4:8, the Apostle Paul tells us that you have control of your thoughts. And we're going back to those little two characters here. You have control of who you listen to and what you believe. Nobody can make you believe something that you don't want to believe. It is your decision to believe. And Paul says you can control your thoughts. How do I know that? Listen to what he says. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, isn't that interesting? Not only talking to the audience back there, but he's talking to the audience here today. He says, one final thing. He says, fix your thoughts. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Fix your thoughts. Now, listen to me. I just want you to hear me. So this is so important that you have complete control of your thoughts. You are the only one who can control what goes on in the membrane. And you have the freedom. You have the freedom to think whatever you want. You have that freedom. It's God's gift. But as we've said this before, and you've heard this phrase over and over again, with freedom comes... One more time. With freedom comes responsibility. Responsibility. And I just want you to hear, if you get anything out of this message this morning, it's your responsibility. If you don't like the thoughts that are going through your mind, or here's how you know if you like the thoughts, or if you don't like what's happening in your life, it's up to you to make those changes, to put yourself in position for change. And he gives us some criteria to judge our thoughts here. So if you don't like some thoughts, and those thoughts are like, wait, that's where I was talking about. Remember that border crossing thing, illustration I gave last week? He says, man, we need to start taking control of our, we need to start thinking about what we're thinking about. And you got a kind of a sketchy thought that comes your way. We need to just kind of close the gate on that and say, wait a second. Wait, it's time out. Is this a true thought? Is this really true, or am I just kind of in feeling land here? I'm not going to lie, I would kind of like it to be true, but is it true? Does it line up with God's word? Is it honorable? Is this thought an honorable thought? If I acted out on it, would it honor God, or would it bring dishonor to him? Or does it honor other people? Is it right? Is it a right thought? Or again, am I just kind of basing this thought on an emotion that I feel? Is this thought pure? If my spouse could read my thoughts right now, would she smack my face? Is it pure? Maybe I need to change my thinking. Is it lovely? In other words, is it looking for the highest good? In it? Is it admirable? Does it deserve respect? Again, Craig Rochelle's book, Winning the War in Your Mind, he talks about this thing called meditating on God's Word. And a lot of people are like, oh, you shouldn't do meditation. Just meditation is to engage in mental exercise. I could never get cross-legged sitting like that. It's not. I know some people do that. But it's just really the mental exercise to focus one's thoughts, focusing one's thoughts. And the way that we do it is we confront the lies by revealing the truth. So years ago, after I had read Craig Rochelle's book, I realized that I had some thoughts in my mind that it just didn't line up with what Paul was saying here. And I was struggling with insecurities and fears and worries and just some of this stuff. And so I just wrote down some, I started to study God's Word and what He says. I entitled this, Who Am I? Who am I? Question mark. Who am I? And I began to write down what the Word was telling me. So I have this. I daily walk in strength and courage because God is with me. Joshua 1:9. I am covered by your feathers and sheltered by your wings. Your faithful promises are my armor and my protection. Psalm 91:4. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God is for me, who can stand against me? I am a man of honor who walks in integrity. 2 Corinthians 8:21. I am in love with Michelle so much that I willingly lay down my life for her. This enables us to live out an intimate love story. Ephesians 5:25 through 33. I knew you would like that one. And more. Each and every day I began to think about these things, to meditate on them. And I just challenge you here in these thoughts that you just write down, find a piece of paper and write down what the Bible says about you. And then think about it, dwell on it, confess it, and believe it. Let me move along here quickly. Change starts with your repentance. The word repentance means to change your mind. And there's no greater story on changing your mind than the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. You see, the prodigal son, he believed the pleasures of this world would make him happy. You know, I'm just kind of living in my parents' home here, but if I just had all of my inheritance money, I could just go out and live it up, and I would be happy. And that's exactly what he did. Took all of his inheritance money, and he left his dad, and he went out, and it said that he jumped into wild living. That's what prodigal means, wild living. And it said that he went from here to there, and then one day he woke up with a massive hangover, and he was broke. And he had nothing else, and he discovered that, like, yeah, this was not the route of happiness. And so it said that when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired hands have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. And so it says that he turned around. Everybody say, turn around. And he went to his father, and he repented. And some of you, that's like the most powerful thing. You want life change that happen in your life? I would say, man, maybe you need to start with repentance. Repentance is when you come to your senses. Some of you this morning, you need to just come to your senses, man. When are you going to get sick and tired of this road that you're on, this path? You've been talking about this change for years, and just tired. And the way that you, the steps of repentance are this, is we confess. Confess. Maybe right now you're having a heart-to-heart conversation with God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I confess the porn, the addiction, the gambling, the pursuit of happiness is wrong. I confess that I believed a lie, and I wanted that lie to be true. And the reality is, it's you. God, will you forgive me? And Lord, and so we can do that, okay? You can do that, and that's a great start. But then you got to start taking some steps where you're turning around. Because that's really what repentance means. I was going down, and the bridge is out. I talked about that last week, and I'm not going to keep going down that road. I'm going to take steps. Sometimes it's just taking steps. But I'm turning back to you, Lord. Instead of running from you like the prodigal son did, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run to you. And then my last thought here is on real change. I want you to understand this morning that this can't be, this is not self-help theology here. This is not about self-help. This is you turning to God. And like I said, I believe that there's many people here this morning like, I need real life change. If I was to tell you to do one step right here, right now, is go to God. Go to God with that change. Again, in the New Living Translation, Paul says, let God transform you. You see, sometimes we take a message like this, like, okay, I'm gonna think differently, I'm gonna act differently, I'm just gonna read my Bible, I'm gonna do all these things. And that's self-help, but I think what we really need to do is surrender. I say, God, I need your help. God, help me. God, will you transform me into the person I'm called to be? God, will you change my thinking? God, will you reveal to me truth? Will you help me to recognize the lies that I have been believing? Will you convict me of the habits that I've caused in my life? Will you begin to wipe away those pathways in my mind? Will you change my heart? Will you change my heart?